Today's sales leaders face a difficult task, selling the right products at the right time through the right channels. A new three-day program from Harvard Business School Executive Education addresses this problem directly. Join us on the Boston campus in August for Managing Sales Teams and Distribution Channels, where you will discover strategies that can lead to the best sales performance. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/sales. That's hbs.me/sales.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
And there it is, Bub. Good morning. It's Saturday, man, in beautiful, sunny South Florida, man. How you doing today?
You just started off by saying it is booty.
I did.
That is what you just
Nothing
said.
Nothing wrong with starting your morning off like that, is there, man?
I guess not, dude. I guess you did already, didn't you?
No, man. How's your day going? Yeah.
Pretty good so far, man. Just, working away, getting a lot of stuff done right now. And, got in a little early and just started getting a bunch of stuff done on, we're doing one of the Celebrity Marlins rides out there. Doing a little bit more of the mods to the SEMA Mustang that we did, man. So I'm just having a little bit of fun out there.
Going to be doing a lot of stuff today, man. We're gonna be talking about suspension secrets and how you set these things up, whether it's a street application or a very aggressive off-road application. A lot of information to be shared there. New producer starting today. We're going to share with the world today as well, Bub. Mm-hmm. Great stuff going on, man, around here.
Yeah, a lot of good things going on.
This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Go shop our online. What the heck is going on over there? Shop our online catalog of 20,000 plus parts. Sorry for that technical difficulty, ladies and gentlemen. 20,000 parts online. We are going to be putting up more. Code 504 is on the way in, and it looks like ProComp, a couple other things, but we're going to talk a little bit about that today as well. Miss Outlaw Boutique, MS Outlaw Boutique, the moose is loose. Ladies and gentlemen, now for all your online orders and purchases, it's much, much easier. Better pricing, Bub. They're doing a lot of neat, new, innovative stuff over there at Miss Outlaw, man.
Yeah, man, a lot of good things going on. It's, as you know, there's been a lot of changes made to the MOB product line. And, that's everything from, just the merchandise to the themes, the designs, the styles, the accessories. Just of course the latest and greatest in the fashion trends and, everything, a lot of stuff coming in from Australia, man, believe it or not. That's a huge fashion industry over there and some incredible things going on.
Right on, Buff. Good. Find them online, ladies and gentlemen. Miss MS Outlaw Boutique, Podcast One. Podcast One is podcasting done Bubba style. We are officially over on the Podcast One network now, man. Have you seen the new landing page with all our stuff on it?
Yeah, man. It looks really, really good, man. A lot of great stuff going up there as well. The Podcast One, I mean, that change and transformation and upgrade was huge. So we're going to have a lot of fun with it. We're going to have a lot of special guests on with us.
We do, man. The guys from Everyday Driving are joining us next week.
Yeah, man. It's, we're looking forward to it because there's a lot of great information in this industry. And, we want to get out there and, have some conversations with everybody, have a little bit of fun and, get everybody's personal insight on everything.
Pretty exciting, isn't it, Bub? Those guys, everything they've said they were going to do over at Podcast One, they have done, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man. The whole crew, they have an entire booking department with that books all the talent for us. They have, just their director of operations. Everybody over there are just good people, man.
Yeah, really good.
I mean, from Beverly Hills, California, all the way over to the New York offices, man. Just solid people.
Yep.
We're very proud. Ladies and gentlemen, around the world, thank you for joining us on the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast, Doing It Bubba Style. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you now to our new producer who brings forward with him a very solid background. We looked for somebody. We interviewed, I guess, about 10 people, Bub.
Yeah.
And we came down to this gentleman, Pierre. Welcome to Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, man.
Thank you for welcoming me to the show. I'm in awe of working with two guys, two of the most passionate and obsessed guys, really.
That's crazy, isn't it, man?
You guys love what you do, and it's pretty obvious. So.
It is. It's a lot of fun. I mean, to capture what Bub does, you're bringing forth a lot. I mean, a lot. You spent time with the Burt Reynolds Institute.
Yes.
You've got a very strong background in theater arts and filming and production. You and I have been in discussions over the last two or three days about how you're going to take this department over and run it from your perspective.
Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun. That's for sure.
Tell us a little bit, share a little bit about, 20 million people out there watching us. Tell us a little bit about some of your thoughts, what people are going to be looking, going to be able to see. It's going to keep you on the edge of your seat because you're turning it into an episodic type thing with a lot of B-roll. Tell us all about that.
Well, people are going to be able to live vicariously through you guys,
Right on,
and I think that's what a lot of people like to do when they watch movies, reality television. They like to see what their life could be like, if their dreams could come true, you know, and they're going to get to see really passionate people doing amazing, amazing stuff and what their lives are like.
It's,
you know,
it's very cool, Bob, the way he's kind of envisioning things. And he's like, is it okay if I do? I said, I don't care. Do what you want to do, man. You know,
I mean, get ready for a train wreck. That's it.
But, and that's what we were talking about this morning. Exactly, Bob. We were discussing that very same thought this morning because the reality of it is you'll see behind the scenes just how bad I can mess things up and how you're always having to clean them up. But the complete harmony between the two, you know, and two very dominating, aggressive industry personalities.
And I think part of the beauty of what we're going to be doing is there's not going to be a bunch of writers like on shows. We're not going to name the shows, but there's some shows out there that it's so overly written. It's so fake. There's no pleasure in watching some of these shows anymore.
Right on, man. And we were talking about that this morning. You had pointed out a couple of the more popular reality-based TV shows on Discovery and Velocity and how that they are kind of on their last leg and how you could identify that because the scripting is getting tighter and tighter on them.
Right.
You know, and that's something we've never done, Bob. We've never scripted a show, have we?
No, not at all. You know, and it's, you know, that's something, Pierre, that we talk about all the time. You know, our good friends, a lot of big builders in the industry, Paul Sr., Paul Jr., Billy Lane, Jesse James, all these guys, all from an era that was, you know, on the Discovery side of things in television, in the media world, that was a time where, you know, 10, 15, even almost 20 years ago, you know, the production that you saw on television then was something that brought knowledge to the end user, the viewers.
Right.
Where nowadays it is so scripted and it is so forced. You can literally, you can almost call the shots 2 minutes into the show. You can almost
call
see
the shots. Well,
you can
said.
Almost see like what the next scene is going to be, how the next setup's going to be. Of course, like we go into, there's something really funny I saw the other day on, I don't know, I was watching American Dad or something. Seth MacFarlane does that show. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching it and, you know, it's funny because one of the end scenes that they did was they actually said out loud, they were like, we're going to do this like an American Pickers show and we're going to go into a barn and ride off on Indians. So on Indian motorcycles, right?
Yeah.
So of course they go into a barn and then they just launch out, they break out of the front door of the barn and they're riding off on these like hidden gem Indian motorcycles that took nothing to just barn find and get
on
the ride.
And get on
right.
How typical. So it was totally scripted, you're saying.
It was just like a total, you know, spoof of what they were saying about the way that the shows are done. You know, it's just like, oh, like we just found this sitting in the corner. Like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
You researched that, you planned it out, you plotted it out, you got it ready to go. Because you didn't want to look like a, you know what, trying to make this thing start and run after not running for 50 years.
And how funny was that? I was just at dinner last night with the amazing Robin, and all of a sudden I don't know why Beavis and Butthead just popped into my head, man. I just sent you guys over, you and Biz Markie, a picture of...
Man, talk about old, dude. Who's that? Mike Judge, right?
Judge, man. Yeah. Do you remember Beavis and Butthead, Pierre?
90s, yeah, absolutely.
Wasn't that a great, great, great cartoon?
It was all right.
I don't know that I liked the times that much.
But... Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy, yep, that's exactly...
Old school.
That's exactly right, man. That's exactly right. So, you know what, Pierre, tell us a little more. Share with the world some of your vision, because everybody's going to now be seeing us on the new, on these digital platforms. How are they going to be seeing us through your eyes?
Well, I think an important thing is, you know, when people are watching any show is that they have some rapport. They feel a connection. Yep. And
very important to us.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to happen because you guys are multi-talented.
Thank you.
You're very interesting characters.
Thanks, man.
And people are going to look and, you know, learn about you guys. You know, if they're going to, you know, invest in your company and get their cars done by you guys, they're going to know who's working on their cars. And I think that's an important part of what the show needs to be, is that you guys are going to become almost family to the people watching.
That's exactly what we want. We want to be that, you know, that name in every living room, Bob,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the book and, you know, the story. And,
well, heck, we got that now already.
Yeah, well, we're going to build on that.
We are, man. And I'm very, very happy that you're with us. And
thank you.
I look forward to this future, man. It's going to be great. It's a very, very exciting time for Bob and I, because this is kind of the direction we've always wanted a producer to kind of take us, you know?
Right.
You know, you had even said you'd like to catch pictures, you know, video and of us working out and things like that. Let people see the tangible side of us, the real human side of us, man.
Something else that's new is next week there's going to be a very nice intro to this very show.
Oh, right on, man. Nice. That's very, very, very exciting. Very exciting, man. So it's going to be a great time. So ladies and gentlemen around the world, very exciting time. You're going to see something new with each show coming up, I think.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be a lot of fun, isn't it?
Good.
So, Bub, let's jump right into this thing. We're going to talk a little bit about suspensions, Bub. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot in terms of you do a lot in terms of suspension setups. There's an art. There's a science to this thing. And this is not just bolting on new shocks. This isn't bolting on springs. This isn't bolting on struts or a pan hard rod or anything like that. There are very different suspension applications for on-road type setups and yeah. off-road setups. And one of the new business models for us here, we decided as of January 1st, 18, mm-hmm. is we're kind of steering out of the restoration stuff. We're kind of done with the paint and body. We're done with the upholstery as of the beginning of this year. It's been in our business plan for a couple of years, and we're going to be moving more into the modern performance and more into the off-road vehicles.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that comes with the suspension setups of off-road vehicles.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, man, it's a lot. It's, you know, just like you mentioned there a second ago, it's all about, you know, what your average or your end goal is going to be with your vehicle. You know, when you're trying to design and build something, you've got to start at step one. You know, step one is not pick your package. Step one is to know what your end result is supposed to be, because in today's world, in today's automotive industry, literally that slogan that everyone says now and everyone uses, if you can dream it, it can be done. It's true. Like in today's world, in the automotive industry, if you can think about it, you can come up with it, it can be done. You can have engines built, you can have drivetrains designed, you can have pieces carbon fibered, you can have pieces chrome plated, you can have things wrapped, you can have things ceramic coated, you can have whatever set of wheels you want, you can have whatever set of springs you want, you can have whatever brakes you want, you can freaking have whatever you want in today's world. All about budget, all about money, and all about what your end goal is supposed to be.
So, Bub, what are some of the differences between, say, a street setup? Somebody who's looking for a car, and they're very different, you know, in terms of going straight, going around corners. If you were to just kind of over, you know, a broad brush overview of what is the difference between, say, a road course suspension and a rock crawling suspension? A suspension's a suspension, right?
Yeah, totally different.
Okay.
You know, in some situations you want a lot of flex. In some situations you want very little flex.
Interesting.
In off-road applications, of course, you're going to want flex. You're going to want flex, and you're going to want undercarriage clearance. That's what you want. You know, and a lot of guys really don't. I mean, this is kind of like a big thing that most people think. So a lot of people are like, oh, well, let me go with a 6-inch, 8-inch, 10-inch, 12-inch, 14-inch lift, and only go with this size tire. Well, that's unfortunately that's going to get you a little bit of clearance underneath the chassis of the vehicle, right? But let me tell you, your main pieces that you're not going to change, which are where you have the biggest issues, are your differentials, your front and rear differentials. So unless you're putting larger tires on there, that's the only way you're going to increase ground clearance from the base of that tire, 6 o'clock where it meets the road, to the base of that differential. The only way you're going to change that number isn't about your suspension lift, it's about your tire size. That's it.
So the only thing that changes the clearance of the car itself, of the truck physically, is the size tire.
Of the differentials, yeah, which is your lowest point in terms of like underneath the carriage.
Isn't that interesting? Because I've seen so many lifted trucks, and I've often wondered, well, the body's sitting up way up high in the air. What's the point of that when the differential's sitting at the right. stock height?
Right.
What is the point of it?
Yeah, so I mean, that's where it takes a lot of work, you know, and it's, you know, most people don't understand that. They'll throw the biggest lift on the thing, and then they won't, you know, maximize that with the proper set of tires, the right size tires. You know, they won't squeeze the biggest thing under there that they can. Now, where some cases that could be really good, again, it all depends on that end goal. But to me, the way I build them is if you're going to go big, you want that clearance, you got to go big.
So, Bub, I know that there are a lot of applications for Jeep. Pro Comp makes them, Rough Country makes them, things like that. There are a lot of applications for on-road and a lot of applications for off-road. One of the things that you're very, very particular about is having a very drivable, mm-hmm. smooth suspension, not yeah. one that bangs your teeth out or rattles the suspension.
Mm-hmm.
How do you build that compromise in between them?
You know, I think that's a fine line that you got to skate right there, because it's at the end of the day, you want to make sure you build something that's not only really good looking, but also fully functional at the same time. And that's something where you have to skate it real tight, because you could lean one way or another. You could either have it looking really good, but then have scrubbing, under hard articulation for off-road example.
Articulation being what?
Just your flex when, as a suspension's angling around. Okay. So you could either have some, you know, some scrubbing. It might look really, really good, but under full flex, you might get rubbing. Now, maybe it's not violent, it's not damaging anything, but it's still not what you want, right? Mm-hmm. But then you could also go too far where you've got a great, great, great suspension setup, but you've gone a little bit taller than you needed to. So now your vehicle is looking a little unproportionate because it's not as maybe as wide or as, you know, it's too tall for how wide it is. The wheel and tire combo is maybe a little smaller than it should be for how big of a lift you did. You know, so there's a lot you have to skate in order to design something that not only looks good, but is also fully functional.
So, Bob, a lot of the vehicles, I was just making some notes here, a lot of the vehicles that you see, especially in South Florida, trucks are a big, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Lifted trucks and Jeeps are a huge deal here,
yeah.
Man. And I'm sure they are in snow belt laden places. You know, people like their Jeeps and their trucks lifted up there, you know,
yeah,
to get through the snow and everything. But what's it matter if you're not, you know, if you're going through 2 feet of snow and the differential still sitting at the same place, right?
Right.
So what is it when you see one of these trucks riding around with the front end higher than the back end? What is that whole look? And what
it's
is
a whole look, man. It's a, that's a thing, dude. It's
what is it supposed to look like you got weight in the back of the truck? What is that?
I don't know, man. It's, that's never been something I've been a fan of. It's, you know, it took off really, really, really big out on the West Coast, man. It's, you know, the West Coast and the East Coast styles for ride designs are two totally different animals. And, you know, that took off big time out there. The front end, you know, 1.5 to 2 inches higher than the rear. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It only looks worse the more weight you put on the back of the thing if you actually tow a boat or if you,
yeah,
you know, use the,
yeah,
thing. So it looks even worse once you start doing that. But that's my personal opinion. There's a whole cult of people out there that love that freaking look. I don't like it.
I just don't get it either, man.
Yeah.
I don't understand that suspension setup and why somebody would do that to them.
Yeah, who knows?
You know, and when you're looking, but for that articulation in an off-road capacity, you know, how do you balance that out with something that drives smooth on the street? Because, you know, you even some of your ball players that you build for, they want these off-road terrain tires, man. That's just not a quiet, smooth ride.
No, it's, you know, a lot of these guys, it's, you know, some people are all about looks and some people could care less what it does. You know, that's the way some clients are, but some people want a little bit of both. They want fully functional and, you know, a little bit of looks where it's kind of like a 50-50 balance. Some just want all looks where it's 80% looks and 20% function. And then some people want it the other way around where it's 99% function and, you know, 0% looks, 1% looks. And that's the way some people.
And I just don't get, Bub, like, for example, I saw the other day one of the big Toyota Tacomas pulling a boat and you could hear just the motor was lugging, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just, even though it's their V8, and I'm not saying they're not bringing technologies in from the racetrack. I'm not espousing that at all. But, you know, it's their V8. It just sounded, but then when you looked at it, the back end of that truck was so far down on the ground because of the tongue weight. It's versus like say a Chevrolet 3500 dually that.
Yeah. Those things don't move, man.
They don't.
I mean, you can put on, you know, 8 car haulers on the back of those things and they barely drop 2 inches.
How do they do that? How do you set that suspension like that?
It's you know, that's really good R&D. It's really good chassis design, man. It's the way the setup's done, the way the leaf springs are done there. Now, granted, they're pretty stiff, man. I will say those are, you know, you hit a bump in the road, you hit a set of railroad tracks. We got a lot down here in Florida. It's a pretty stiff setup, even on mass production factory vehicles. And that's that line that you've got to skate to.
Yes.
Where it's, you keep it functional, but then also keep it comfortable. You know, and that to me is, those I know are, you know, for example, like you just mentioned the 3500. So like Chevrolet,
yes,
GMCs, the dual like that, those to me are very functional, but I feel like they're a little more functional than they are comfortable, you know, and because they do work. They work. They're very, very functional in terms of hauling, the load capacity that they can do, 23,000 pounds. I mean, that's ridiculous for a mass production vehicle. That's what it can tow.
And you know what? I don't have a good sense of getting my head around those numbers. Let's talk about what those numbers mean, Bob.
I mean, figure the average car is 4,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
4,500 pounds. So 23,000 towing. I mean, that's what you can pull.
That's
a lot. That's a lot of weight.
That's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
How do the transmissions hold up to that?
No problem.
Really?
Yep. Pull it on all day.
And it's not destroying it, you know?
No.
Because, I mean,
but those are safe numbers. I mean, that's what they're tested for.
When I was growing up, you know, the dualies had a 454 in them and they were 5-speed or 6-speed transmissions, very clunky manual transmissions.
Mm-hmm.
And you were lucky to pull a horse trailer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's technology's brought things a really, really, really long way, man. It's, you know, it's getting deeper and it's getting better as we go. Literally day by day, it's getting better in the automotive industry. That's what I'm saying. You can literally come up with anything you can want and you can have it now.
And that's how you kind of segued into the show, is that mm-hmm. you can get anything that you want. One of the things, Bub, that I noticed also was that, you know, for example, when you're pulling, when those big dualies, and I see more Chevrolets on the road pulling the car haulers than I do the Fords by far.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but when I see, and very, very few of the Dodge Rams, but when you see the weight that those things are pulling, and they just go and go and go. And the big three have given, the big three being GM, Chrysler and Ford, have given the average layman the ability to do what only a tractor trailer was able to do just a few years ago.
Yeah, man. And that's, you know, that's actually what a lot of these guys are doing. They're doing these, they're going out, they're buying dualies. You know, they're buying something that are either GM or Ford based, even Mopar, you know, Dodge based. They're buying these dualies that are incredible motors, transmissions, drivetrains, chassis, suspension. You know, the towing capacities are, they're just buying them outright for themselves, and they're starting up a private hauling business, and they're just pulling cars around. At, you know, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 a car. I mean, they're paying back in the first 30 days. Let's be real. And that's pretty absurd. You know, that's crazy, man.
You're able to do that
because of the number and the money that you can turn just from how easy it is. They can go and do it. They can put it under their personal name. They can drive it. They can do it cash or check only. And that's what people are doing in this world.
Hmm.
I mean, that's it. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just they're moving cars.
Economically, what do you think that does to the big trucking companies, you know? You know, they were so stringently regulated anyways that they weren't making any money.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of a, that's a tricky one there, because there's, you know, a lot of guys out there that are very, very big high-end car collectors that are not going to do anything but put their car in a climate controlled and enclosed trailer. Mm-hmm. So there's always going to be a business for it.
There always is going to be a business for it.
Oh, for sure.
And
yeah.
South Florida, you've got them coming out. Like, we're getting out of what we call season now. A lot of the people from the north come down this way. A lot of the people from the north come down this way to see what's going on,
or
hang out, not see what's going on, spend 6 months of the year here, and they're all going back now.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it, man?
Yep.
So suspension packages are really, let's talk about, Bub, you know, we know about a little bit about the off-road packages, you know, and how you have to set those up, the flex that you have to put in those things. We were talking to Doug with a TMG group, Trans-American group, yesterday. They flew in from San Diego to meet with us. We were talking about how the new Toyotas, they've designed a 14-inch travel lift kit for those things, man. Let's talk,
yeah, man.
What does that mean?
You know, that's crazy, man. And, you know, in the on-road, off-road world, you know, a 14-inch lift is, that's a pretty big number, man. It's, you know, that difference alone. Whoops.
What happened?
My Mevo app didn't post our show to the correct location. So it was on my page, not our company page.
Okay, but it's on now.
Yeah,
right?
It's on now.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what, man, it's you know, when you talk 14 inches, I mean, the average sheet of paper is 8.5 by 11.
I noticed the viewer numbers were down a little
bit. So you can take that 11 and add 3 inches to that. So you're literally adding 14 inches of height just on suspension alone. Now that's just suspension. That's not including the difference of the increase that you're going to put on tires, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go from 14 inches, probably going to give you a lot of a difference. You can go from a
huge difference, man,
from a 31, you know, maybe a 30 inch tire up to a 35 37. So you can add, you know, 7, but you're going to take that number, you're not adding that full number, you're adding half of that number, because you're only going to add to the bottom half of it. You're going to figure 14 can be anywhere between 16 and 20 inches of overall lift
travel
by the time you're done. And that's incredible.
Good morning to everybody around the world. We're sorry. The first part of the show was being broadcast on Bub's personal page due to an error in the app. Good morning to Mackenzie Woodward. Mackenzie, we were just talking about the Code 504 line of products being available on the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. There goes our numbers, Bub. The Bubba's Exotic Motorsports come on, man.
What do you
website,
got going, dude?
Website.
BubbasExoticMotorsports.com. Where you at?
Great. Good morning. How are you out there? How's everything
no
going
chance.
Your
he's
way?
Going to the gym today.
He's not going to the gym
today.
No. Right? How
Come
about
on.
That? Yeah. Mackenzie out in Nebraska checking us out, hanging out with us. For those of you who missed, let me recap the top of the hour. You'll see part of the show over on Bub's Facebook page. We'll get it all clipped in on one. Our producer will fix it.
Well, it's the whole show will still be here.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever, Bub.
I just had to share it to the right place.
Oh, did you?
And I can't do it once it's already live.
That's funny, man.
No,
so,
not
so
really.
So you ended up on my phone, too.
Yeah.
Right on, man.
Exactly.
We're bad. We're nationwide. Isn't that what ZZ Top said?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, just welcome to our new producer here. If you're just joining us on the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports Facebook page, welcome to our new producer, Pierre. Pierre's bringing forward a lot of very, very fresh, innovative views. He's going to take you behind the scenes with us. A lot of B-roll is going to be coming out of this. Brand new intros and outros with music beds. You're going to be going to the gym with us, spending time with us outside of our.
He's not going to be working out by any chance. He's just going to the gym with
That's
us.
That's correct. Filming. Yeah. It's going to be. He's doing a lot of B-roll, a lot of very, very insightful things, and he's going to make BEM the household name that we've always enjoyed being, Bob.
That's right.
Super, super exciting, man.
Yes.
Fresh new look to everything, man.
That's right, man.
Really good. And as of January 1st, as we discussed, our intention was to push aside the restoration side of the business. We, after 14 years of doing that, we wanted to move that into the curb lane, Bob? The curb
what?
Lane? We're going to move it to the curb lane. And in the left lane, we're going to still deal with the modern performance and the lifted trucks and things like that. So it's a pretty exciting time, man.
Speaking of that, man, have you seen what we've been doing on? So we're building for one of the Marlins, one of the Miami Marlins. We're building another Jeep JK for them right now.
Is that the green one you're working on?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, dude. So that thing is
hand fabricated bumpers and everything, Bob.
It's coming together pretty solid, man. It's it's not often that, you know, as I do my builds, of course, like naturally when I look at them, like I know I'm putting together a pretty solid design. I can honestly say that. And you know, I'm not gonna design something that looks like a pile of crap. That would be stupid of me to do. I put together pretty solid designs. I look at them, but I always get so caught up in the moment. That
yes, you do.
I do it start to finish and then it's done. And I'm like, okay, cool. Next, like I just move on. But when you really stack, and I've really done a lot of it because I'm doing so many different, you know, modifications and upgrades and altering and, you know, changing things here and there. I've really been doing a lot of studying to it. So it's like the more I keep,
look at the way Pierre's studying you and listening and taking everything you're saying in, man.
Don't throw me off, bro. I'm trying to keep going here.
I think that's great.
So, I step back and as I do my build, right? So I look at them and I come up with the design in my head and I do it and I apply it. But as I get going, like I have the vision, of course,
you know, modification,
but I'm always like, as I put something on, maybe I'll step back, I'll look at it, I'll judge it, I'll reevaluate it. I'll get other people's opinions. And then I just kind of modify from there a little bit, you know, up or down, depending on which way I need to for that design and that theme. But I'll tell you what, this Jeep JK that we're building right now, it's a 2008. This thing is fairly old. So we're already talking what? We're going into 19 here pretty soon. We're already at 10 years old on this Jeep. That was 2007 was the first model line of that Jeep JK. This is the JKU, so it's the four-door. That's the U, the Unlimited. Four-door Jeep. We have done, you know, everything from, of course, your go-tos, man. Like you do the suspension lift kit, you get that installed, but if, you know, you do other things along the way. You do your wheels and tires. You do, maybe this thing, it had different steps on it. You change the steps. In some cases, we actually go back to what it should be from the factory versus very extreme modified, like what a lot of people in the industry would do, right? So like we actually took, you know, a lot of the factory fenders. We did a lot of smoothing to them. They were like the textured black finish from factory. We smoothed those all out and did them in a base coat, clear coat, so they match the paint color. A lot of great upgrades were done to it. A lot of great things were done to it. It is on our Instagram. If you go to instagram.com/Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, also on the website, Bubba's Exotic Motorsports.com. There are feature pictures of it there. And you can see these upgrades, man, but it's so much fun that, you know, Rough Country hooked us up with literally everything that they sell for the Jeep JK model line from 07 to 18. Suspension lift kits, accessories, grab handles, grills, lighting, switch panels, floor mats to, you know, WeatherTech or like the weatherproof style floor matting. Anything and everything you could possibly imagine. Rough Country hooked us up. They sent us in all that stuff. And of course, at BEM, we do everything over the top. We take it out of the box and then we modify it to even make it more vehicle specific.
You did. The owner was in yesterday. You were doing the new hood latches. One of the things you're doing is adding gold accents to this, and you can go to the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports Facebook page. You'll see an example of this on yesterday's daily live stream. But you'll see the gold accent that you're putting throughout this Jeep, and it's stunningly done. You've given the Jeep JK a fresh JL style look out front. You're cutting all of the bumpers up on this thing and hand fabbing them. It's just amazing. Seniors just loving that stuff, man.
Yeah, man. It's just taking it and, you know, modifying it around. You know, when you're doing these things, there's like I keep saying, man, it's in today's world with the automotive stuff, it's literally endless what you can come up with. As long as you're creative, you've got the skill set, you've got the budget, of course, you know, you can come up and do anything. Much like, you know, building a house or, you know, whatever you want. There's houses that are built out there that are freaking incredible. You would never even imagine them, you know, where there's literally swimming pools that go under these huge 2-inch thick glass walls that you literally swim into your bedroom that are from the outside of your house, right? Yeah, so there are things that sky is the limit, truly is, as long as your budget can afford it. And, you know, that's what we've got going on with this thing. We've got a couple crazy, crazy high-end rides in here right now. Some really, really high-end stuff. We're doing some crazy mods too. You know, a lot of them are major league player and celebrity status, and we're going to have a lot of fun with these things and just really rock the streets when these things get out there.
Speaking of rock the streets, Bub, a lot of rock musicians, a lot of musicians run out of talent or run out of desires and designs and musical themes after, you know, a few years. That's why very few are those that stay. B.B. King, the Van Halens of the world, you know, people like that just really keep putting out the music. I mean, there's only so much creative talent. Where do you see yourself as one of the top three today in terms of running out of that passion, that design prowess? Do you see it coming? Is it something you feel, or have you ever thought that through?
No, I feel like there's always going to be, of course. I mean, today's industry with the automotive world is getting incredible, man, in terms of what you get out of the gate. It's you know, when you talk about like the high-end rides, the very high-end rides, you know, you talk about Lamborghinis, you talk about Ferraris, the Audi R8s. These are cars that are really coming out pretty strong, man. There's not much that you do to those things. I mean, typically you get those cars, you know, you do, of course, your basic fun stuff. You do it's true bolt-ons at that point. You're doing some suspension, maybe mm-hmm. lowering it down a little bit. Of course, they are built from a mass production standpoint, so they're built to have good clearance on them. But to set that stance right, you can drop those things down. I mean, they don't need much, 3/4 of an inch. An inch typically doesn't on those kinds of rides. So where you're not doing very major modifications on some of the higher ends, you know, you're doing your bolt-ons, your intakes, your exhausts, your tuning, your suspension, your stance. And then, of course, just fun little coloring, you know, mods here and there. Maybe you want to change the emblems from chrome to black, or take the emblems completely off, or maybe you want to wrap the car in a matte color finish, or, you know, maybe just, you know, audio upgrades. I mean, even something like that. I was talking with one of my guys the other day, Ken, about the audio world, you know, and he was talking about wanting to really get into doing that kind of stuff. But it's, in all reality, and let's be real, the audio world's going to very quickly come to an end as we keep furthering forward with today's vehicles. And what I mean by that is today's cars are coming so well equipped with audio systems and navigations, backup cameras, Bluetooth units, factory built in Pandora, the Apple CarPlay systems that are in these things. So what people are using in technology, you just get into your car and it all links up and it's all there. It's hands-free. You do nothing with it. Whatever's on your phone will display right on the screen of your car. You know, and they limit it. It's done safely. There's no texting while driving. I mean, they shut all that kind of stuff off. You know, so it's really like the aftermarket audio world is going to start fading back unless you just do it for pure competition.
Well, I think in many ways the aftermarket audio world should, or the radio terrestrial, as it, we in the business say, there's terrestrial and non-terrestrial radio. Non-terrestrial being the digital platforms, the terrestrial being the more recognized platforms. Terrestrial radio is dead, and it should be dead. People are tired of having advertisements thrown down their throat. They're tired of the stupid, wacky humor.
Well, and that's kind of where I'm at with it too.
It's at 6 a.m, you know, people are done with it.
So let's go back. We're going to go back to like maybe late 90s, early 2000s, probably in that era right there. So when XM satellite came out, XM, of course, was the first ones that came out.
Yep.
You know, when XM came out, that was a paid service, $10 a month, super, super easy to deal with. A couple hundred channels. You can get whatever the heck it is you wanted. And you could set your account up to be exactly what you wanted it, whether you wanted it to be, you know, rap music or sports music or just talk shows or news or whatever you wanted, you could set it up to be that way. But now, again, everyone has sold out again from that, even though they have
monthly. How
about
Comcast? Huh.
So the point of that was supposed to be all commercial free radio, right?
Yeah, right.
And now it has turned into these talk shows. It has turned into these, you know, you get a commercial every 2 songs.
Oh,
it
my
is,
God,
honestly,
man.
It's gotten worse than AMF, and it just allows you to have music everywhere you go in the world. So to me, it really aggravates me as an end user because I have it on 15 plus cars at $10 each. So I'm spending $150, $200 a month in this Sirius owned satellite radio that is supposed to be this commercial free deal. And it's like, I literally spend more time riding around just clicking on the next channel because I'm tired of listening to commercial.
And what's more is, just like Bub, to your point, all the cable broadcast companies, Comcast is famous for it. You got a medical commercial for pancreatic sphincteritis every 5 minutes.
I know it gets pretty old.
And
man.
It goes on for 2 minutes, and you got to listen to some a-hole tell you about how do not take this if you do this, or consult your doctor if this, or blah 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 blah. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on, and it never stops. Hey, dude, shut the f up! I don't want to hear about it.
I know, man.
Right?
I know.
It's just, my God. Mike K says, I agree with Bubba. Car audio is done. In early 2000, I had a car audio shop, and it was great. Nowadays, everyone for car audio is out of business, and that's correct. And they've done it to themselves.
Yeah, you know, it's true, man. It's you know, again, there's always going to be a market for it. You know, even when you go and you buy, for example, I mean, you know that we do a lot of, like, you know, all of our stuff is JL Audio equipped.
Yep.
Whether it's either auto or marine based, it's just pure out. I mean, hands down, best. But when you're working with that kind of stuff, it's, I mean, even when you're doing like today's modern vehicles, right? So maybe you went and you bought a car. Let's throw out like a Chevrolet Silverado, right? We talked about the dualies earlier. Let's say a Silverado. You go buy a Silverado. It's got a full audio package in it. It's got everything you can imagine. LTZ. It's fully loaded, leather nav. It's got all the crap in it. Got the backup camera. Everything you could possibly want. So no more are people going out and they're buying these units where they're putting in single din or double din radios that you go and buy Clarion or Alpine.
Right
on. You're not doing that crap anymore. You have a beautiful 9-inch display mounted in the dash that is smooth. It's molded in. You're not going to go and change that and put in something aftermarket for the ugly looks. Now there are literally ways that the only time you would go to like an audio shop, which you're not going to get this at the dealer, would be to go and have like a JL Audio Stealth Box or something, a single sub put in underneath a seat, maybe in a side compartment in a panel. But like, gone are the days of people going and having these ginormous subwoofer boxes like stuck in the trunk and taking up trunk space, and it's all gone. It's, I mean, today's components are coming so strong out of the gate. There's no reason for that anymore.
There's not, is there?
There's not, man. I'm telling you, it's only going to be so much longer. The only time you're really going to have custom audio business is when it comes to either, like I mentioned, boating, which is a huge life for it down here.
Oh,
and that's all custom audio. I mean, again, you can still order some of that stuff from your factory when you have a boat built. But a lot of guys that, you know, down here, they, of course, party zones down here on boats, incredible.
Yep, that's all that happens.
So
that's, right.
That's kind of what it's about down here is LED lighting, underwater lighting, and music.
That's exactly what it is.
And booty.
And booty.
Yes.
But
that was at the start of the
show.
Don't
pirates get a lot of booty?
No, they probably get none.
Really? Then they're not good.
Have you ever had any pirate booty, or is it a pirateer? Is it, what, piratey? What would a girl pirate be?
Pirateess.
There it is. Have you ever had any pirate's booty?
Yes.
True pirate's. Like,
yes.
She's hard.
Yes.
No way.
I have.
No chance.
I did.
Come on.
And she was wearing like a black scarf and a skull and crossbones.
With a wooden leg? Could you hear her coming?
I think she said I had the wooden leg. Right?
Hey, Mikey, I'm coming to get you.
Right? How about that? Yeah, though.
We should move on real fast.
Got to remind everybody that next weekend on the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast, Doing It Bubba Style, now on the Podcast One platform. We're extremely proud of that. Shaquille O'Neal's over there, Bub. Dr. Drew's there. Magic Johnson's there. Laura Ingram's there. Penn from Penn & Teller is there. All the big names are over there. Adam Carolla's over there. We're over there now. We're very, very proud of that. And we are going to have Paul and Todd from Everyday Driver, Velocity's Everyday Driver, joining us live next week.
Bob. Yeah, man. Looking forward to it. You know, it's another group of guys that have a lot of fun in the industry. And it's, you know, we want to just get everybody's, you know, knowledge and fun and feedback and just throw it around and have some great conversations with it and, you know, bring that to everybody.
And again, that feeds right back into what our new producer, Pierre, is bringing forward, Bob. He's bringing that kind of, he's got a very insightful B-roll approach, not just, and it's how you and I are. It's not what you see in the front. It's always what's in the background. And that's kind of the approach he's bringing forth. And it's going to be a very, very refreshing new look at us from behind the scenes too, man.
Yep.
All you're going to see is me breaking and everything.
I know, man.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
We're going to also, Bub, I think we're going to add a couple new segments to the show. We're going to have, since it is a full motorsport show, we're going to be doing, you know, some off-road features every week. And we're going to be doing some upholstery features every week from Larry up there, the official shop up there in Georgia, giving us updates on what's going on and stuff like that, man. He's got a couple of demons and Hellcats up there and stuff like that.
I've seen.
It's pretty cool
stuff. Yeah, I've seen, man. Some crazy, crazy stuff rolling out up there.
And who does better work than him?
Yeah, no, not any.
Jesus Christ, dude. They are amazing up there. I know his wife was watching a few minutes ago. I don't know what happened to her. I think she just dropped out, Bub.
Yeah.
So, Bob, now let's talk a little bit about setting up the suspensions for a road course style car. What do you do there? For example, the BEM Porsches, man, those things will go around. I drove mine this morning, man. That thing will go around the square corner, man. Holy Christ.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, man, it's what you're building for. You know, you got to know what you're trying to build, what you're trying to achieve. And in today's marketplace, you can make that happen. And the quality of what you purchase is going to be the quality of what you receive. That's mm-hmm. simple. Mm-hmm. If you know you want to go and build a road course car, they're totally different than something you would build to run a straight line. There is something totally different than what you'd build to be on road fully and also off road. So mm-hmm. it's something totally different, man. You're trying to put together a car that handles extremely well, has an incredible weight balance and distribution, and the braking, the handling characteristics of those two are everything. You know, you want the power to get you through the course, but you also, more importantly, want the braking and the handling to put that car where you need it to go. And that's kind of the key when it comes to road course cars. You know, and that's what takes a lot of work, is doing that well-balanced setup and design. Typically, you're not doing it specifically based off of like a street stance.
Sure.
You would just set the stance, you make it look really good low, and you just ride on it. This is going to be something where you're going out and testing it and tuning it and adjusting it. And, you know, typically going with like a fully adjustable coilover suspension setup where you can adjust that ride.
When you say coilover, tell us what that means.
So it's a like the shock and strut assembly where you have your rebound and you know, your setup on your suspension, what absorbs what's going on with the wheel travel, you know, with the road course, the dynamics, the bumps, anything that you may be hitting, that weight transfer, the way it moves around, all of that can be adjusted. So fully adjustable coilovers can be adjusted literally to the last spec of whatever it is you need, from everything from ride height to how the car pushes down in the corners, whether it's got oversteer, whether it's got understeer, you know, whether it's pushing through the corner, whether the rear end feels like it's trying to come around, you know, in front of you. It's all of that can be adjusted in suspension. And that's nothing more than going out and setting up a full package specific for road course style driving, and then doing nothing more than pushing that car to its limits and tuning it and adjusting it for your drive style.
I want to say good morning to Jack, our good friend up there in Ontario, Canada, Bob.
Nice.
How's he doing, man?
I don't know.
I wonder how his truck is going along. He's building a Code 504 truck as well. Jack, can you please shoot me over an update on how the truck is going? I'd like to know how it's going and everything like that. But one of the things I noticed today is you did drive the BEM award-winning SEMA Mustang to the facility today. And I saw you had the right rear tire off. Why was that?
Yeah, so, you know, with suspensions, you know, everything naturally settles. And, you know, they settle over time, especially when you're working with, you know, custom spring rates. Things tend to settle. Sometimes you can put a set of springs on a car and it'll say that it can drop anywhere from 3/4 inch to 1 1/4. A lot of people see that, and a lot of people are like, well, what am I supposed to do? Should I order this set of springs? I don't know if it's going to give me the exact stance. You know, things like that, they do change. They change with everything. It changes with how much fuel you have in your car. How many people are in your car? Do you have skinny people? Do you have fat people? Do you have extra subs in the trunk? Do you have audio systems? All of that is going to change your ride height at the end of the day. But things also do settle. Typically when we do installs on springs, especially on like older model vintage cars, you will get something that settles. So you can put them on, they'll maybe do an inch drop. They might drop another 3/8 or even as much as a 1/2 inch over the next, you know, month or 2 months, depending on how you drive the car, the spring rate naturally settling down a little bit, everything seating in. So, you know, things can drop a little bit, but one of the things I did this morning, the SEMA Mustang, the SEMA 17 Mustang, we designed that car to sit super, super low and tight.
Yeah, you did.
I had the stance tucked really, really hard on that thing, and I wanted to just bring it up just a hair, man. So I actually pulled the wheels off and I brought that thing up just over 1/4 inch. Not a lot, but I'm telling you, 1/4 inch makes a big difference when it goes from SEMA rides that sit on a show floor or fully functional on the street.
Interesting.
You know, and that's a very, very small adjustment. 1/4 inch is not a lot, but it's a big adjustment when it comes to railroad tracks and huge bumps down here in South Florida.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Van Sice is out there watching. My very good friend, the doc, also he's an extremely talented orthopedic surgeon, came out of Tulane University, sold his practice there out in the Tulane area, joined us here in South Florida, and is a very, very revered and well-respected orthopedic surgeon. Works with the Marlins organization, has certainly patched me up, and is always around us when we're out in those danger-oriented environments. You'll meet Dr. Van Sice Pierre as well. He's a good dude, man. Really, really, really solid member of the community. He's a very caring person, very calm person, very giving person. He's just an amazing man all the way around, man.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, he's a great guy. We should go over to his place. He does surgeries every Wednesday. That's his surgical day. And on Tuesdays, he's so devoted to his craft and his trade that he literally does not, he stays in. He won't do anything. He's very focused. He studies on Tuesday evening after working all day Tuesday. And we should go into the surgical room with no cap, no gown, no nothing on, and just walk in and try to give him some assistance. And you should film that as some B-roll. How about that, man? So, by the way, I understand that Doc bought a new bike. I wanted to get him out there and ride some off-road stuff with him because I figured I better have a team doctor with me, man, if I'm off-road.
It's not going to help, dude.
He wanted me to know he bought a mountain bike instead.
Come on.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Carbon fiber.
Yeah.
Why does everybody like that carbon fiber?
Super, super strong and really lightweight, man.
Really?
Oh,
how about that? Dr. Van Sy says, no, not a chance. So, yeah, we'll have to invade the operating room while the doc's in there. He clearly knows that I have my struggle, shall we say, right?
Yeah, that's not going to happen at all. They won't even let you in the front door over there.
They won't. They really won't. Man.
Not even when you need surgery. They're like, yeah, it's not even going to help this guy.
Yeah.
Just send him somewhere else.
Most professional bedside manner I've ever seen in anybody in the medical industry. Dr. Van Sy's, check him out, ladies and gentlemen, especially if you're in South Florida, man. Just an amazing dude.
Yeah.
Good cat, man. Good guy, man. Solid member of the community, cares about his trade, cares about his craft, and he's just a great guy, man. You know him personally too, Bob.
Yep,
super,
really solid.
Super good guy, man. Super good guy. Dr. Wade Van Sy's, everybody. S-I-C-E, Van Sy's. I think he's like one of those guys who just committed his life, man, and never looked back.
Yeah, well, it's, once you find your thing, you know, you find your niche in life, you know what you're really good at. I think that's when you need to capitalize on it. And I think that's all come through, for him as well. You know, you see his success, you see the quality of work that he does. And you see the people that he does it for, you know, it's not easy to contract, you know, by very large organizations.
How about
work? How
about
sports related?
For the man?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, to get sports related contracts is it's a big deal, man. And that's when you honestly walk around holding your head up high, knowing that you are, it's not being arrogant, knowing that you are that good.
It's
that's just a true skill and trait.
And if anybody, we have a huge following. We got 20 million people around the world, huge following just right here in the South Florida area, Bub. If anybody would like to talk to Dr. Van Sy's, it's easy to reach him. 561-295-7131 is his appointment request hotline. You'll get all of them. Very, very just board certified in sports medicine to work with the Marlins themselves, man. That says a lot.
And let me tell you, dude, those guys are winding up and they are throwing really hard. And I can't tell you, man, it's a lot of the boys, dude, have been they've been running through and doing a lot of injuries lately.
Yeah,
you know, they're really, really pushing that team really hard right now. And, the guys are, hey.
Think about Dr. Van Sy's position right now, just from this alone. He's the orthopedic surgeon. He's the guy who the whole team looks to make sure these players are healthy, right? Now you've got the new management, Derek Jeter and staff over there, right? Those guys have cracked down. They've even got security now. We used to just get in and off the lot. We had to be added to the list to get in and out to pick up the players' cars.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, daily, it's not a permanent add to the list. You have to be added
every day.
You're
right?
Coming and going.
Every day we're going in and out of the field. So here's Dr. Van Sy's right there in the middle, okay? He's Dr. Van Sy's is that guy where he's real conservative. He's not going to take he's like you, Bub, in terms of professionalism. You're not going to take the chance. It ain't leaving. It, you know, if the car's got bald tires, Bub's scrubbing it and pulling it off the road. If the brakes are bad, he's scrubbing it and pulling. If the doc sees the smallest potential for injury to these players, he pulls it. And one of the guys you're building for now, Bub, or was just building for, I can't get into the personal information. The doc benched him. He said, that's it. And it was just nothing more than a hairline fracture.
Yep.
And he said, that's it. You're not playing. So he's stuck in the middle between management wanting to get these guys out there playing and these guys saying, we're feeling okay. And the doc saying, not under my watch. We're not taking that chance.
Yeah.
That's the kind of professionalism you're getting, man.
Yeah.
And it's because he cares, man.
Yep.
Good dude, man.
Yeah.
Good
real dude, solid.
Man. Really solid, dude. So, and, he's a car guy. He's a car guy. He likes motorsports and he loves fun stuff like that, man.
Yep. Big time. You
know, he does.
Yeah.
Man. So I caught him riding around, in his house in that new carbon fiber bike, Bub.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Stop.
He did. He put it up on like jack stands. He was just pedaling. I said, Doc, what are you doing? He said, I'm just trying to get some cardio in.
Stop, dude.
Yeah. Right on. He took the front wheel off the front of it.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'll just take the back wheel off and pedal.
Morning to Reggie Wynn out there from Turbinetics in California. Reggie is our one of the BEM sponsors. The BEM Turbinetics SEMA car is here today, Bob, isn't it?
It is.
It's absolutely here today.
Yeah. Right?
And by the way, Reggie, I don't know if you got my email a couple weeks ago. If not, double check that, Reggie. Let me know if you received that email about the BEM race team with the S10 pickup truck. That I don't want to release all the information, but it's a, you've teamed up with a professional all-pro defensive end, Bub, who you've been building for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a 408 small block. You want to do a turbo application of that and see where that goes, man.
Yeah. That's later on down the road.
It is, isn't
yeah.
it, man? So, but Reggie's watching, Bub.
That's right.
Where's Reggie been?
I don't know, man. Listen, dude, that boy is so Reggie, Turbonetics Precision.
Napier.
Yes. So I'll tell you what, man, go to for all of our boosted applications.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything from stock replacement to extreme stupid horsepower. I've got to give mad props to Reggie, dude. So I'm looking at, you know, of course I do all of my social media first thing in the morning, 5:30 in the morning.
Yep, that's right.
Reggie is 3 hours behind us.
And he's with us every step of the way.
And at 3 a.m., he is at the gym killing it, dude. And let me tell you, when you're up now.
I wonder when he sleeps. He's like us.
I have no idea when he puts it in. But Reggie, mad props, bro, because trust me, man, I've been working out every day for 7 days straight for the past 6 months, you know, 2.5-3 hours a day. And I know it's hard to really keep your body in shape and to you know, just to crush down, you know, 100 calories off of your body, dude, in terms of cardio, man. And when I saw he's pushing over 1200, 1500 calories burned in his cardio sessions, that's ignorant. I mean, that's just
Reggie,
that's
pushing it. He's burning 1200
dude,
calories.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it was like 1297.
Could you imagine the rate
session.
At which he's working
yeah.
out?
I'm telling you, that's pretty solid, dude.
That's a lot of cardios, man.
Hey,
he's going carb deficit then.
And Reggie's a big boy to be pushing
he's
that
a big
kind
boy.
Of cardio.
He's a football guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it. What's up, guys? Thanks for the kind words. You're welcome, Reggie. No, it's true, man. You have been part of the BEM family for many, many years. Two very, very innovative concept cars have come out of BEM because of you. That is the Turbinetics Camaro and the award-winning BEM SEMA Mustang.
Which, by the way, so I did my adjustments on that suspension this morning, drove it when I was done.
First time I've seen that car out since SEMA, the unveil to the public.
Yeah. So let me tell you, dude, that little sucker is pretty quick, man.
It is quick.
So
603 horsepower.
There was a guy that he saw me the other day on Central. I took it out maybe 2 weeks ago. Saw me on Central. He made a U-turn to come back to me, right? It was one of the brand new GT350Rs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, factory, those cars are pretty solid, 550 horse on them. Pretty, pretty good cars, man. They're red line of 8,500, which is almost unheard of in V8 applications. You know, and he literally comes up next to me, and after he makes his U-turn, we're sitting at a light. Of course, both of us are first at the light, so you know we're just going to get it and have some fun. So that guy, he revs his up a couple, totally murdered out, black, can't even see in this thing. Of course, every window darkened out. So
a lot of that on the South Florida street.
Oh yeah. I mean, windshields and all, everything.
Yep.
So he, you know, he's stepping on a little bit. I'm like, all right, whatever, dude, we're going to go for it. Right. First, second, third gear. We just get this thing all the way down Central. Right. So probably like 130, we both let out and side by side the whole freaking time. This guy rolled his window down at the next light and he was like, bro, is that the four cylinder from freaking SEMA? I kid you not. And I was like, yeah, dude. He was like, that is not bad. I was like, yeah, bro. Let me tell you, this thing's pretty freaking stout for a little donkey four cylinder.
Well, when Reggie reached out to you and said, look, it's time for another concept car, the one thing he said is you were not allowed to break that motor open. You had to stay all external, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, true bolt-ons, man. A lot of custom tuning put into it, but it's full-on efficient, dude. It's super, super strong, really efficient, and it's you know, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's still averaging like 19-20 miles to the gallon. Pretty
yeah,
good,
man. That's really good.
Yeah,
man.
Pretty good,
really
good. Strong little sucker.
Interesting. I know you're talking to Code 504 and those guys over there about a SEMA build right now, Bob. It's going to push you up against the wall, but it could be interesting what comes out of that with the power.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're in April going into May, dude, for sure. If I even start now, no chance it'll be ready in time, but I always make it happen.
You do, don't you, man?
I have no idea how.
How did you remember it went out? Reggie had the Turbinetics car out there in Los. No, he had it in Simi Valley, California.
Yeah, in June,
Bob.
June. That was
we
a June unveil.
We went back 3 days, and Reggie said,
I need that Giddy car up, ready boys. For seeing you. And I was like, are you kidding me, man? We hadn't even finished the R&D out at the racetrack yet.
No, and it's funny, too, because at first when we built that SEMA ride, so we built this thing, you know, the first time we built it, the car was completely murdered out. Just all, everything black everywhere. It just looked wet. Everyone loved it, man. It was, everything under the hood was chrome polished, and you know, that was the only accent piece to it. So the car was jet black everywhere. You open the hood, just nothing more than chrome all over the place. So it was a really, really good combo. Showed really well. Reggie told us, you know, right away, hey, I want that thing for SEMA.
Yeah.
So this was in June. Let me see. You got June, July, August, like 4 months really is what you have to build. That's what I had to build a car from June to the middle of October to put that thing in trailer, ship it.
Yep.
To Las Vegas, Nevada, and had to be completely functional. I'm not going to build a SEMA car that's not functional. There's 60% of the rides out there are getting pushed in.
That's exactly right, man.
And they're getting pushed out. Well, this one, not like that at all. So this is a full build that happened to have, you know, maybe 4 months of work go into it. And everything, literally, I'm talking like the wheels showed up an hour and a half before we
had
to load this thing in
the
trailer. Literally like an hour and a half.
And you didn't even get them bolted on. You sent it up there with those wheels off the car and changed it.
I did, yeah.
When you pulled out of the trailer in Las Vegas.
Actually, that's because it didn't even fit in the trailer. It was too
wide. Reggie, 714-242-5166. 714-242-5166, please.
So, you know, it was great, man. We had a great time out there. You know, Precision's been a huge, huge sponsor of ours for a really long time. And, you know, they've always hooked us up with everything, man, when it comes to either wanting some, you know, personal R&D from us as the designers and builders of certain rides, all the way down to just, you know, professional installs getting done on basic direct fit stuff. You know, we've had a great relationship with each other. We've built some serious rides with each other. And
I can't wait to see what you guys come up with next. You guys have done one Chevrolet and one Ford.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't even want to listen. You know how hard it was for me to walk into a Ford dealership and be like, here, I'm buying a four-cylinder Mustang.
Yeah, when Reggie put the call out.
God dang it, dude.
Yeah. When he said it's
literally when I left, I floored that car as hard as I could.
I pulled out of the parking lot
and I was like, what the freak am I doing, dude? This thing's got like 104 horsepower.
Yeah.
I felt like I was driving a Model A compared to what I drove there.
I remember it well, Bub.
It's bad.
Very well.
I mean, the average Toyota would beat that thing.
In reverse.
Seriously.
It was bad.
Yeah, really bad.
You took that thing around the top.
I thought
you?
Something was wrong. Like, I was like, dude, I think something's wrong with this car because it doesn't feel like it's moving at all.
Okay, so Reggie says, sorry, I can't join you guys this morning. I'm about to head out, but I'll call you guys on next Saturday. Excellent, Reggie. I don't know. The show now is on Podcast One. We're very, very proud of that. We're over there with Shaquille O'Neal and Magic Johnson, all of those guys. Reggie, it's very, very cool. We're excited about that. Next week, we'll have you on. We'll have the guys from Everyday Driver, from Velocity's Everyday Driver on. Our new producer will be in here with us, Bob. It's going to be an exciting show, Reggie. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. So please, let's have you call in and get Reggie on the schedule for next week, Pierre. He's a good dude. Super.
Yeah, that'll
good.
Be a good time.
He's been part of this.
We might have to talk about some new builds. Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's get creative. The problem is
Reggie won't tell you about a new build until 2 hours
before he waits.
He doesn't want nobody to know. And then all of a sudden he's like, hey, Tom, I need to talk to Bob. I'm like, Reggie, what's up? And he goes, well, we need a car for SEMA in this. And that's how it'll go down.
All right. So listen, so Reggie, put some thought to that. Audience, put some thought to that as well. Throw some ideas at us for a build for SEMA. Let's see if we can slip it in and get it done. Jesus, what am I doing?
Yeah. Well,
I just did it.
We've got the Code 504 truck.
Yeah.
But you've got plans for that, man.
Yeah, but that's not going to be boosted. No chance that's boosted.
Why not?
Come on, dude. The thing would never be able to hold a straight line.
With the way you built suspension?
Yeah, with a pickup truck like that, the only way you're going to plant that kind of power is a full tub, and I'm not doing that.
No?
No.
What about a 4.9-inch rear end?
Stop, dude. Stop.
Isn't that the correct thing to say anymore?
That's what everybody says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a Holley, how about this one? An Edelbrock 650 double pumper.
Stop, dude. When I saw that go across Barrett Jackson, I was like, what are these people selling?
What's wrong with that, Bub?
Edelbrock never, ever, ever in the history of Edelbrock's entire history, ever did they design nor build a double pumper series carburetor. And when you see a car go across Barrett Jackson for $100,000+ and it says it's got an Edelbrock 600 series double pumper, Jesus.
And that's their professionals up there on the stage saying it, man.
Come on, man.
It makes you question the integrity of
even
everything
you're
saying.
Even if it was typed, I wouldn't have freaking slipped that word in there.
No. And when they say double pumper, what do they mean, Bub?
Just referring to the mechanical secondary's double accelerator pump setup on it. All mechanical.
All right. So it's got two pumps in it. Two accelerator pumps in it. Double pumper.
Yeah.
I thought it meant two fuel lines feeding it.
No.
No. Okay. Well, there you got it, ladies and gentlemen. So it It was not a double pumper at any stretch of the imagination.
No, no chance, man.
How about it
with these people?
Yeah.
They don't even know what parts are on their car.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I like about that. That's like people say, hey, you didn't do all this work on my car, blah 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 blah, and everything that you've done. People, Bub.
Yep.
I don't know, man.
That's it.
Bub, we're gonna have an exciting week. We're coming up to the top of the hour here. I cannot thank Pierre enough for joining us live today. Big things coming out of Pierre for this upcoming week, man. And I want to thank Pierre for joining us today in the studio live, sitting in with us, man.
That was great.
And I want to welcome you to the BEM family,
thank
man.
You.
This is your department. You build it. You make it what you want. Our goal is to change. Yes, more obtainable to people, and to show that father and son asset that we have.
Good.
We're very special to have.
Got a good thing going.
Thank you, man. So thank you for being part of the BEM team. I want to thank Dr. Wade Van Sice. He is the official orthopedic surgeon of the Miami Marlins. Really good dude, man. Super, super great cat, man. I just don't know. You can't say enough good things about him. If you're down in the Jupiter area, man, you need that help. He's the guy to go to, man.
Jupiter Orthopedics and Sports Medicine.
That's exactly right, man. Next week, Bub, we're joined by Paul and Ty City's Everyday Driver. Going to be an exciting show. A lot of fun, Bub. Again, today, we did a lot of the suspension, but we moved into a lot of other things too. Audio, mechanical, a lot of fun stuff there as well. I want to thank everybody around the world for joining us today. Turbinetics is
done Bubba style.
Absolutely it is. Ladies and gentlemen, until Monday morning, this episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's Bubba's Exotic Motorsports.com. Make sure you shop our online catalog for over 20,000 parts and new stuff coming from Pro Comp. Well, I'm not supposed to talk about that, am I?
You just did.
Oh, well. New stuff coming from Code 504 and some other big, great names out there, Bub. Want to remind everybody, Paul and Todd will be here from Everyday Driver next week. Miss Outlaw Boutique, MS Outlaw Boutique, online now, ladies and gentlemen, for the very best in boutique fashion, apparels, and accessories. Good morning to the beautiful Robin and Layla out there. Until Monday morning, Bub, we're gonna roll out of here. Until Monday morning, 11 o'clock, Bub, let's keep on doing it.
Bubba style.
Right on.
Let's go. The new Macy's Backstage at Merritt Square just opened.
And it's right inside Macy's on the second floor.
Incredible low prices.
We don't even need coupons.
And you never know what you'll find.
Well, that's what the thrill of the hunt is all about.
Great brands, fashion for everyone.
Home decor, electronics, toys.
And new finds arrive every week.
So if you see it, buy it before it's gone.
Who knew shopping could be this exciting?
Macy's Backstage now open on the second floor inside Merritt Square. Visit Macy'sBackstage.com for details.
Let's go. The new Macy's Backstage at Merritt Square just opened.
And it's right inside Macy's on the second floor.
Incredible low prices.
We don't even need coupons.
And you never know what you'll find.
Well, that's what the thrill of the hunt is all about.
Great brands, fashion for everyone.
Home decor, electronics, toys.
And new finds arrive every week.
So if you see it, buy it before it's gone.
Who knew shopping could be this exciting?
Macy's Backstage now open on the second floor inside Merritt Square. Visit Macy'sBackstage.com for details.